start there anyway. We're winding down a series on the apostles. It has been one of my favorites personally to prepare for. But in Luke chapter 6 and verse 15, we are coming to the last of the names, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus. We've looked at those. And now we come to these other guys, Simon called Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. The next name that is given on our list that we are looking at is Simon called the Zealot. In Matthew chapter 10 and in Mark chapter 3, he is called Simon the Canaanite. The word Canaanite, though, does not mean that he is from Simon from the village of Cana, nor does it mean that he's from the land of Canaan. It means zealous. He is Simon the Zealous. He was at one time a member of the political party known as the Zealots, so we refer to him as Simon Zealots. He bore that title all of his life. Maybe he had a fiery, zealous temperament. He probably did, if you realize, when you will in a moment, what kind of sect that he was part of. In Jesus' day, the term signified a well-known and widely feared outlaw political sect, almost like terrorists, and Simon was a member of that sect. There were four basic parties among the Jews during the days of Jesus. The first one, everybody knows about these, the Pharisees. They were the religious fundamentalists of the day. They dogmatically adhered to the law. They were known as the Pharisees. You all know them. The second group is the Sadducees. We refer to, I always think of a song when I say that word, Sadducee. But anyway, they were the religious liberals. They denied the supernatural. They denied the resurrection. They were rich and they were powerful. And in all honesty, they were in charge of the temple. They've got the Pharisees. You've got the Sadducees. There's a third group called the Essenes, a third Jewish group. The Essenes are not mentioned in Scripture, but history says that they lived in the desert and they lived a celibate life and they devoted their life to the study of the law. But they were kind of like, almost like a nomad out in the middle of the desert. Nobody bothered them and they didn't bother anybody, and that's how they lived their life. The fourth Jewish group was the Zealots. They were more politically minded than the other groups. They hated the Romans. I mean, they hated the Romans. And their goal was to overthrow Romans' occupation of Israel. And they would go to all length to see that that would happen. They advanced their agenda mostly through terrorism and acts of violence. Islam is not the first group of people. Radical Islam are not the first terrorists. They've been around a while. I know that. But the Zealots were just as bad as they were. They were extremists in every sense. They were like the Pharisees in that they interpreted the law literally. They took the law just as little as the Pharisees did. But they were much more militant. The Pharisees would compromise politically, but the Zealots would not compromise politically at all. They were violent outlaws. Now, this is what they believed. They believed that only God himself had a right to rule over the Jews. Well, you would kind of go along with that. God does have a right to rule over the Jews. They therefore believed that they were doing God's work by assassinating Roman soldiers, because they were only supposed to submit to God. They would also assassinate political leaders and anybody who opposed them. And that does sound like radical Islam, but that's what the Zealots did of those days. We have some Christian militants today who may not be that bad, but they can be awfully close. We go to Albany every year, March 18th. But the signs that people carry walking around, turn or burn, you know, and they want to go burn down abortion clinics. I'm against abortion clinics. But I don't think, if that's what a radical militant fundamentalist is, I'm not in that camp. I don't even want to be in that camp. You don't go burn things down. And I mean, you stand against things and you fight against things and you stand for that which is right. But you don't just go over the edge like these radical groups do. And unfortunately, we've got some in Christianity today that sometimes I think they do more harm than they do good. I really believe that. Don't ever get caught up into that stuff. They believe that only God himself had a right to rule the Jews. Their goal was to have a Messiah who would come and lead them in overthrowing the Romans and restore the kingdom of Israel. So when Jesus came as the Messiah, they were convinced that the true Messiah would come and would help them overthrow Roman occupancy of Israel. You could say that they were patriots ready to die in the instant for what they believed. In the year 6, there was a revolt. You can study about this in history. But when a group of these zealots waged violent rebellion against the Roman tax, the Romans came up with it. Bill knows about it. The Romans came up with a new tax, and so they just got upset. Their leader is mentioned in Acts chapter 5 and verse 37. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee. So he's known as Judas the Galilean or Judas of Galilee. In the days of the taxing, so that was the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. They believed that paying a tax to a pagan god was treason against the real God. And when the Roman government, and some of you are thinking, that's not such a bad idea today, but when the Roman government instituted another tax, Judas of Galilee seized the moment. The idea grew. He organized forces and went on a rampage of murder. They carried out almost like guerrilla-style warfare and acts of terrorism against the Romans. But ultimately, as you read here in Acts 5:37, he also perished, that is Judas of Galilee, and even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. The Romans ultimately defeated them. But the remnant were underground, and then they would kill the Roman soldiers. They would sneak up behind them and either cut their throats or stick them, those that were left. And I mean, they hated the Romans. They would burn Roman targets, and then they'd retreat to remote areas of Galilee to hide, just like the terrorists of today almost. They were zealous, but they were zealous the wrong way. And Simon was one of those. You talk about the mercy and grace of God. To reach down and call to be one of his apostles, a man like Simon, this is unbelievable. Now, this I find interesting. Think about this. What was Matthew? He was a tax collector. What did Simon hate? Paying taxes to the Roman government. Those two were from the opposite end. And yet, they were associates together under the Lord Jesus Christ as his apostles. At one time, Simon would have gladly killed Matthew. But now, they work side by side for the same cause. They spread the gospel and they worship the same Lord. Can I tell you something? Nobody is against you around here. We are all on the same team. We should strive. Everybody should strive to get along with everybody. I mean, the Lord takes people from this side. I'll use Matthew. A collector of taxes for the Roman government. And he takes another guy, Simon, who hates those Romans. Hates them. Killed. Who knows how many he actually killed. And now the Lord saves them. And they work together for the same cause. I find that amazing. Jesus chose these guys. And he chose Simon Zealots. A man of fierce loyalties. Amazing passion. They were ready to die for anything. Courage. Zeal. Simon had believed the truth. He embraced Christ as his Lord. And the enthusiasm that he once had for Israel, he now has that for Christ. But isn't it amazing how God takes people from any realm of life and uses them? And they all, at least those 11, pretty much got along. Let me say this and I'll move on to another disciple. If we want to, and I really believe this, and if we really try, we can pretty much get along with everybody. Now, we won't be buddy, 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 buddy with everybody, you know. But pretty much everybody in the family of God ought to be able to get along. It's called unity. And God loves it when his people dwell together in unity. The Lord loves that. There's another disciple that we read, Judas. I'm going to do two tonight because the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about all these guys. But the last name of the faithful disciples is Judas, the son of James. Judas is a good name because it means Jehovah leads. But when we think of the name Judas, there's a negative thing, stigma attached to it, because we always think of Judas Iscariot. The name is no guarantee that Jehovah leads. But the name Judas actually means Jehovah leads. Remember that old song, you can call yourself a Baptist and not be born again, a Presbyterian or a Methodist and still die in your sins? Just because you've got a label on yourself of something does not necessarily mean anything. Anyway, when John mentions him, look at John chapter 14. Verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. So when John mentions Judas, he adds the phrase,